Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Neil Coulong in the NFL today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070, WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This is the only element of my discussion with Peter King is that I felt like as Peter was talking, giving his usual outstanding and direct answers to questions, was Matt cheering over the Carson Wentz comments? Like throwing his fist in the air, being happy, taking joy in someone else's misery.
Well, just here's the thing with all that. This just goes to confirm again that the Eagles have just obliterated everybody in winning, of getting the best out of Carson Wentz. The 2017 season, obviously his best season by far on the field, and then what they got for him in return in the trade to Indy. Now he's thrown all over the place. He's building a bad reputation with Washington, with all the coaches and some franchises. Washington, who knows what happens now? So you put him, you're in an interesting spot now with a division rival. So yeah, the Eagles look really, really good right now with Wentz. And when all this came down, I would have thought you would be crazy. It's amazing.
Well, I think let's start with this, we'll get to the play-by-play call in a moment here. But let's start with this, and that is, they made the right choice as to who the quarterback should be. So they deal Wentz, but you can't say that they've won the trade and the whole thing. They haven't picked a single player yet. Hey, so you can't sit there and go, oh, wow, yeah, they're so smart. Well, okay, they made the right choice at quarterback, so that's smart. Okay. He's very good, but not the greatest quarterback in the division, let alone the conference or the league, but still is very good and I think has a chance to do exactly what they need. But they haven't made a single pick yet.
You're right, but I'm just saying, right now, they put themselves in a very good spot off of getting rid of Carson Wentz. Now they got to make it turn into fruition. No doubt about that.
I mean, there have been times where like, hey, they made the trade, and they dealt this guy, and we got picks, and all of a sudden you look at the picks going, I mean, how many people sit back and look at the picks people got? And you're like, hey, let's just see who they pick. I mean, they may pick three winners, they may pick two winners, they may pick one. Out of the three, one may be really, really good and made it absolutely worth it to do. But the bottom line is they made the right choice at quarterback. They've got him right now on a second-round rookie deal. That makes things better as well. They got a lot of money off the books because I think all of Wentz's money is off the books as of now. All right? And they'll get picks out of it, but the question is going to be how well do they end up picking? That's going to be the they have to make it pay off, or do they then take one or two of those picks and put it together and make a deal that can make the team even better? Now, those are all elements we don't know. It's easy to say, oh, boy, they got the best of that trade. So far, they have nothing out of the trade except they got rid of them. They haven't made a single pick yet. And for all we know, they make really good picks and it's a slam dunk. Or they make some picks that are like, eh, and it turns out to be a wash. You just don't know. Yeah. All right. Today's show brought to you by. You hate the logic of the show, don't you?
No, you're absolutely right. I'm just saying the Eagles are in a good spot as of right now. That's all.
Yeah. Maybe. How about this? They have an opportunity, but they've got to make it pay off.
Exactly.
And again, you don't know. And I go back to what I said to Peter, what Bill O'Brien said. From high school to college is a huge jump. He said from college to the NFL is a chasm. And And you've always felt the chasm was easy. Okay. I mean, is that what you're telling your kids? Little Mark is 9 months old today. Right? He's out there. You're trying to pitch to him with that big bat, and you're telling him, like, come on. It's only a little jump. Come on.
This is what I'm telling him.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
It's like, that's all I do. I'm giving, giving, giving. I mean, I'm just, you know. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that can do the routine, inspections, diagnostics, all of it. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day.
Kyrie going for the 50-piece. Irving has 50!
Kyrie Irving. Flammable here tonight. He's been sensational in his diversity of scoring, but doing it from the three-point line, attacks the basket there.
Oh, my almighty! A lot of college basketball tournaments going on out there. Kyrie Irving in a cameo appearance makes our play-by-play call of the day. Didn't he play on the same team with Ben Simmons?
If Simmons gets on the court, yeah.
Yeah, on Sunday, the Celtics beat the Brooklyn Nets, and you know Irving was, you know, not great, but he was okay, and Durant was fine, and Jason Tatum had more points than Durant and Irving combined. He had 54. Wow, that is quite the performance right there. I mean, you're talking about, in, you know, it is, there's no question that, you know, when you look at the Eastern Conference, Giannis, Embiid, right, Durant, Tatum, those are the best players in the Eastern Conference right there, those four. And the Celtics, by the way, are playing really well right now, with all the talk about the Nets and the Sixers and the Sixers and the Nets and the whole thing. When you sit back and look at it, I mean, which team in the conference might be playing the best basketball right now? Might be the Celtics.
I don't necessarily disagree. They worry me a little bit.
Well, of course they worry you. They're actually good. but man, it's sort of an issue. But, I mean, they've won 8 of their last 10, which, by the way, the Sixers have done. They've won 8 of 10. The Heat have won 8 of 10. The Celtics have won 8 of 10. Those are the three hottest teams right now in the NBA, except for Denver. Denver's won 9 out of 10. The Mavericks have won 8 out of 10. Oh, and the Timberwolves, whom the Sixers beat, have won 8 out of 10. The other Sixer wins include the Knicks, who have won 3 out of 10. And Matt's been bragging about the wins over the Knicks for days. Really?
And the Cavs, too, don't forget.
The Cavs were here last night, by the way. Cavs were here last night. So Lamar was here last night. Timmy was here last night. So,
did you see him?
Yeah. No, I did not see
okay.
him. We got here at a point. I just knew they were playing here last
okay.
night. Could I have gone over? Sure, yeah. But Johnny Holiday and I went out to dinner. So
that's
Cavs
right.
won 127 to 1. Cavs won 127 to 124. And Lamar last night lugged in 19 minutes and had 9 points last night for Cleveland. But not only did he have 9 points in the game, he had 2 blocks, 4 rebounds, and was a plus 12 in the game. Plus 12. Yeah, not bad. I mean, he's not Joel Embiid, but, you know, I mean, he's not James Harden. But he does show up with his lunch pail to work. Right now, the Sixers would play, ding, 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 the winner of Toronto and Atlanta. And that's where they are right now. I believe, yeah, they would be Toronto and Atlanta. They play the winner of that. Miami, which is three games up in the Sixers. And right now the Sixers are only 4 percentage points in front of the Bucks. Miami would play the winner of Brooklyn-Charlotte. The Celtics, meanwhile, would play the Bulls. And the Bulls are really, really hot right now. They've lost five in a row. So that's a different story. Yeah. Let's see in the West. Let's see. The suit told me this team's called Pahonix. No, that's not it. Phoenix would play the winner of the Clippers and Lakers. Memphis would play the winner of New Orleans and Minnesota. And Golden State would play Denver, and Dallas would take on Utah. That's if it ended today. But I like to point out it doesn't end today. And the Lakers have been scorching hot. I mean, nobody wants to play them. They're 2-8 in their last 10.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Could be worse. You could be an Orlando Magic fan, 16-50. Ugh. It's like being a Pirates fan. What do we do now?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know that an element of the show I really love is when we get to talk to fans. So get a phone call. I love that. Hear what they have to say, hear what they have to think. And we're going through, obviously, with baseball right now. You know, the lockout is happening. And it is so great to have fans back. Now, it may be normal with a small N, but I go back to the last 2 years. As you know, I was here in Indianapolis when everything got shut down. I'm not going to go through the whole story again about Rudy Gobert, and we're at St. Elmo's, and you know, and then the next day I was on Sirius, and I'm saying, hey, look, Rutgers and Michigan not only have to start the game, they got to finish the game. If they don't, then they're not going to play, you know. And of course, it getting canceled, and there were no fans, then it got canceled, you know, then we went through. Obviously, everything we've all gone through. And I've got pictures of empty stadiums that I did games in. Michigan, Beaver Stadium, Nebraska, Indiana, you know, going through all the places, you know, that I went, Rutgers. And the largest number of fans I saw from the end of the basketball season in 20. And the largest number of fans I saw in a football stadium since the Cotton Bowl ended up being about seven. Let's see. For basketball, it was like maybe 750 at Virginia Tech. Maybe 750 at Virginia Tech. And for football, it was the 7,000 for the blue-white practice in Beaver Stadium last April. The Spikes then played last summer, and you know, while people are like, "Oh, we can't have arts festivals and things like that," Spikes said, "We're playing ball." Right. And the first four games of the season, they only were allowed to have half capacity. But then the final, I'm trying to think how many would they play 64. The final 28 home games last year, they were allowed to have full capacity, and on the 4th of July, they drew 7,200 fans in a ballpark that seats 55. Right, so they're, you know, you're talking about 1,700 over the number in the ballpark. It was phenomenal. It was great to see. That was the largest crowd I saw, period, until I got to Wisconsin. And they're, you know, they're doing jump around at Wisconsin. And then you get to Beaver Stadium. And Beaver Stadium, they averaged almost 107,000 per game. And Beaver Stadium this year was like 106.7 or something like that. Ohio State had 102,000 at the game I was at. Not quite capacity, but, you know, there were some empty seats. You know, Michigan State, it may have been snowing, but they had fans. Basketball, you know, everywhere I've gone, Michigan State had maybe, they seats 14. I would say they probably had 12,000 at that game. Indiana has 17,000. They probably had 15,000 at the game. But you get fans back. We need to, you know, more than ever, especially when we're talking about the financials, where you get 40% of your money from the gate. We need to appreciate fans more than ever. It's so, you take, for example, like the Pirates have taken their fan base for granted for such a long time, as an example, because they've been making money. And they're putting down putting out there an inferior product, and it's a big issue. You're at the point now with fans that I think you need to do what I always have referred to as management by walking around. It's amazing management by walking around as to what you see around you when you actually get out there yourself and get your hands dirty and look around at what's going on, right? You should be going around to parking lots now saying, hey, let me talk to you about the experience. You should be at the gate. Hey, let's talk about your experience. You should be going through the concourse. Hey, tell me about your experience. What can we do to make it better for you? Over and over again. Because guess what? Now that we're getting back to normal with a small end, all those entertainment opportunities that have been out there are now starting to come back as well. Peter just went to an Elton John concert at Barclays, for example. Billie Eilish was just at the Jordan Center last month. More and more of that's going on right now. Elton John's doing his farewell tour. But you're getting more and more concerts out there, more and more entertainment options out there. And you need to, after going through a pandemic, one of the lessons learned is you're getting 40% of your revenue from the gate. You better be cultivating those people over and over again and not only giving them a product that gets them excited, but also giving them an experience they're excited about and feel great about. Right? I mean, look how happy Matt is today. There's no Carson Wentz. The Eagles are giving him the experience he wanted. All right, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Here in Indianapolis, where Penn State plays basketball tonight in the Big Ten tournament, at 8:30, I'm beginning at 8 tonight as the Nittany Lions take on Minnesota. We've spent the last half hour going through Matt's delight in someone else's demise. It's just, I mean, is this what we're teaching to young, impressionable children?
Oh, my almighty!
Is this what we're teaching? Just asking. By the way, Navy plays Colgate tonight, so that is the 7:30 game for the Patriot League Championship tonight with Ed DeChellis leading Navy. So kind of personalize this a little bit.
He's got a very, very tough matchup.
Oh, no, Colgate's good. That's fine. But guess what? I mean, not all the number one seeds have won. You got to have it. I mean, you just got to go out. You got to play. You got 40 minutes to get it done. And I mean, some number one seeds have done well, like Bryant beat Wagner last night, and then, of course, there was the fight in the stands, which was, I mean, to be honest with you, that's the Bryant administration's fault, to be frank with you. You don't put the student body behind the opposing team's fans. You just don't do that. I'm sorry. You just don't. You know, the opposing team gets about 100 tickets or so, and they're sitting behind the bench, and then you've got the, you know, the student body right behind them. That's just a bad mix. It's just poor planning on somebody's part. And it's not like Bryan hasn't been selling out. They've sold out their last six games. Here's a good one for you. Today, St. Joe's lost to LaSalle in the Atlantic 10 tournament. Okay. Now, since Phil Martelli was fired, and he's now at Michigan, Jameer Nelson Jr., who had committed to St. Joe's, is with Delaware, hit a big shot yesterday. Jared Bynum, who was with St. Joe's, transferred to Providence. He's going to the NCAA. Bones Highland, who committed to St. Joe's, went to the NCAA with VCU last year and is now in the NBA after being a first-round pick. Akeem Hart, who committed to St. Joe's, ended up going instead to Maryland, where he got into the NCAAs. Phil, of course, himself went on to Michigan in the NCAAs. His son Philip, who was on the staff, is in the NCAA because he's Bryant's assistant. His son Jimmy is in the NCAA with VCU as an assistant. St. Joe's lost 8 of its last 9 this year, and in 3 years since they got rid of Phil, they're 25-60. Yep, whomever made that choice down there has a really good feel for the game and the profession. Nice call. No offense, we could have told you this was going to happen. Do you know what it's like sometimes being in this and you look around and you say to yourself, really? Are you kidding me? And then 3 years later, this is how it plays out. Are we shocked? No. Matt Lombardo next half hour, and then more Matt bitterness and delight over demise.
Hey, I can't help what's happened.
You're just too happy when things go wrong for somebody else.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a great service department that makes it all pay off. You want to have great service all the time, they do that. Routine maintenance, inspections, or diagnostics, whenever need be. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's been a day where Matt's personal delight in someone else's demise has come to fruition. He's had a hatred for Carson Wentz, and I don't think that the word is an understatement. Because being an Eagles fan, he's real.
You, sir, are my hero!
And I agree with Peter. He probably looks at the statue of Philly Special outside and thinks that should be him. Right?
That definitely was the top fear of mine. In the midst of, and this was like the very minuscule amount of enjoying the Eagles' first Super Bowl in franchise history. But you kept thinking in the back of your mind, is this going to end badly for Carson Wentz? And obviously it has.
Yeah, it has. There's no question. All right. Now, did you see Michelle put out, you know, Buller's the dog had kind of a slow day to get going today. Did you see that?
I did not know.
Yeah, it's just kind of a slow day. Now, the dog was in yesterday. Don't you think there's a correlation between Bullers having a slower pace today after watching the pace that the suit goes with all the time?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Something to consider. Well, if he can move that slow, so can I. All right. All right, let's get to a look at NFL free agency. Matt Lombardo joins us from FanSided and the podcast FanSided.com. Matt, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, great to catch up with you, my man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate that very much. All right, so obviously I'm sitting here where the combine was, literally across the street from my hotel last week. What was the general impression you got? I got the impression from people that, quarterbacks aside, there's some depth in this draft. Did you walk away with that impression?
Yeah, you know, you look at what happened out in Indianapolis, Steve, and I think that a lot of the question marks about the quarterbacks from people inside the league are really justified. I think there's real questions about Kenny Pickett's upside, especially if he winds up in cold weather city. That just seems to be the narrative, even though he did have a lot of success at Pitt. When you look at the breadth and the depth of the pass rusher class, the defensive back class, the linebackers, the offensive linemen at the top of the board. You know, you talk to people inside the league, and there's value from picks 1 through 50 or 1 through 65. It's very tight through those first two or three rounds in a way that we haven't seen in a number of years. But I'll be really fascinated, Steve, to see what plays out through the course of free agency at the quarterback position. We saw it yesterday with blockbuster trade that sent Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos. But I think you're going to see a lot of teams spending a lot of money in free agency and trading a lot of resources to get a veteran quarterback, because executives and coaches are really skeptical not only about this year's class, but the quarterbacks will be in the 2023 draft as well.
What did the trade between the Broncos and the Seahawks say about the Broncos, and what did it say about Seattle?
Yeah, Steve, I wrote about this in my weekly national column on fansided.com today. I think that it was a signal that the Seattle Seahawks have waved the white flag. And you saw that late last night when they released Bobby Wagner, coming off a career 170 tackles. He's going to land somewhere almost immediately, I think. And you look at the Denver Broncos, they're now all in. And I spoke to Sage Rosenfels, who played in the NFL, played the quarterback position. And he brought up a really great point, that you're now dropping Russell Wilson into the same offense that turned Aaron Rodgers into the MVP the last 2 years. And now Aaron Rodgers has always been a great player, but he's played some of the best football of his entire career in this system, in this offense. Now you get Russell Wilson in that same mode with, I'd argue, comparable, if not more explosive weapons in Denver. But boy, oh boy, the NFC West and the gauntlet to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. If you're trying to get to a Super Bowl out of that division and out of that conference, you'll have earned it, because you also have to go through Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr in the division. Joe Burrow is on that side of the bracket as well. So Russell Wilson lands in a great spot in a great system, but it's going to still be an uphill trek to get to the Super Bowl, that's for sure.
All right, back to the combine for a moment. A guy that I was impressed with in 19, didn't play against Penn State in 20 because he was hurt, then played this year and was phenomenal, was Aiden Hutchinson. So I had a good long look at him. Two of the last 3 years. I know he impressed everybody at the combine. What was your take?
Yeah, I think this kid is solidifying his case as the number one overall pick in the draft. I think that he's a guy that not only has all of the tools, he's a high motor player. I've had some people compare him to a Jared Allen type, maybe even a touch below a TJ Watt in terms of upside. And you look at what the Jacksonville Jaguars did yesterday by tagging Cam Robinson, their offensive tackle. They're basically signaling they're going to lock up their offensive line and got they have intact, and they're going to be looking at the defensive end spot. And you talk to people inside the league, and they're significantly higher on Aiden Hutchinson than they are guys like Thibodeau and the rest of the rushers. So I think that Aiden Hutchinson should probably figure out a suit and combination in teal and black, because that's going to be where he's headed.
Well, Thibodeau stopped at the combine. I mean, he lifted 27. He ran a great time, and then stopped. How much do NFL people, he's a great talent, but how much do people take that into account?
Yeah, I think that that reinforced what some people have already been saying and thinking and believing about Kayvon Thibodeau, because there's been some skepticism about playing third downs in Oregon. There have been some whispers about his work ethic and just how hard he works. But I don't know, Steve. I watch the film. I see an explosive pass rusher. I see a guy who is best in class in terms of his skill set. Into an NFL building with NFL coaches, and he's going up against the best players in the world. I just get the sense Kayvon Thibodeau is going to rise to the occasion. But I will tell you, the perception of Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau couldn't be more stark in terms of how different they are inside the NFL.
Right. And see, Thibodeau I never saw in person, Matt. So I, Hutchinson, obviously, I have for obvious reasons broadcasting the Penn State games. But when I've seen Thibodeau just on TV, when he wants to go, he does go. I mean, somebody's going to get a good player by getting him, even though he's got these questions about it, at least I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that when you look at Hutchinson and the track record, it speaks for itself. And, you know, I watch a lot of Big Ten football myself. A Penn State season ticket holder would know well. I've seen a lot of Aiden Hutchinson. I've seen that he could be a complete game wrecker. And I think that the Jaguars or whoever wind up taking him are going to be quite happy with that selection.
Teams set up their draft, at least in my opinion, by how they handle free agency. You can kind of get at least I get a gauge as to what they're going to do in free agency. You talked about, for example, you know, what the Jags did with Robinson at offensive tackle as a sign. Who do you expect to be active in free agency and why?
Yeah, I think you have to look at teams that have a lot of money and some very obvious needs. I think that you look at a team like the Cincinnati Bengals. Yes, they're coming off of a Super Bowl, but they have something like $48 million in cap space. You saw that Joe Burrow was sacked more than any quarterback in the league. I'd expect them to be in on all of the top offensive linemen. I think they're going to make a strong play for one of the top tight ends, whether that's Zach Ertz or Evan Ingram, to continue to surround Joe Burrow with weapons. And a similar argument can be made for the Los Angeles Chargers being hyper-aggressive because keep adding weapons around Justin Herbert. You saw yesterday they decided not to tag Mike Williams, the star wide receiver. They locked him up long term, kept his cap hit relatively low. I think they're going to be big spenders. And I think that, you know, you look at some of the other teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars, like we talked about in the draft. Trent Baalke, I think, is starting to feel some of the heat based on the perception of him around the league. Doug Peterson making his arrival in Jacksonville is going to want to make a big splash in year one. And they have a young quarterback as well. So that window, Steve, you talk about, you know, winning while your quarterback is still cheap. They also have to keep Trevor Lawrence happy after all of the drama last year surrounding Urban Meyer. Yeah. So if I were handicapping the teams that are going to be the most aggressive, I'd start right at the top with the Bengals, Chargers, and the Jags.
People are going to ask, obviously, in our area about the Steelers. They have an interesting situation with Ben Roethlisberger now retiring. They've got Watt. They've got Hayward. So what do you – and, of course, Mason Rudolph. So what do you think about the Steelers, who have never really been tremendously active in free agency? What do you think their approach needs to be?
I think they need to solidify quarterback position first and foremost, right? Because you've seen with that defense with Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick and the playmakers that they have at all three levels, you can win with McTomlin. There's a lot of consistency there. Quarterback's top of the list for the Steelers, and two names to watch, in my opinion, Jimmy Garoppolo out of San Francisco. I think he can be had for a second-round pick or a third-round pick plus a couple of players. I'd expect him to be really involved there. And kind of out of left field, and I don't know that the Steelers have the draft capital to make this trade happen, but if Deshaun Watson's name is cleared, if he's cleared of all of the criminal wrongdoing of these allegations, and if the family and Mike Tomlin are comfortable with selling Deshaun Watson through the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base, if they're comfortable with just eating an 8-game suspension next year, knowing they'll probably have traded their first-round pick as part of the package, I don't know that there's a better than Deshaun Watson, who is a top-5 quarterback when available. You can drop into an offense with a Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, a Najee Harris, and a Pat Freiermuth. So I think quarterback needs to be top priority because the Steelers need to keep up in that arms race in the AFC.
All right, so then say, for example, that doesn't come to fruition. Now let's go with the stopgap guy. Is Teddy Bridgewater, for example, the kind of stopgap for a year or two?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of those guys. If you're comfortable with Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and there's a belief inside that Mitchell Trubisky is going to cash in on a $10 to $15 million a year contract as a starting quarterback in this league. If you're comfortable with Mitchell Trubisky being a guy that can perform in Pittsburgh, you think it was just an issue with bad coaching and a bad system in Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky could make some sense there. Teddy Bridgewater makes some sense there. You look at Carson Wentz, it really sounded at the combine like Chris Ballard has completely devalued Carson Wentz, completely is ready to move on. If Carson Wentz is available, I think Steelers would be wise to go after him. So it's going to be fascinating. There's going to be a lot of names flying around, and I think the Steelers are going to be one of the more interesting teams to watch on the quarterback market.
So let's flip it to the eastern half of the state. The Eagles made the playoffs last year. They have committed to Jalen Hurts at quarterback. They made a really good pick, which everyone, you know, let's face it, I think we all thought Devontae Smith would be a really good pick. They've got an offensive line where they can run the football. So what are their needs that maybe they should think about in free agency before they then get to the draft?
Yeah, I think the Eagles are one of those teams with a decent amount of money to spend. I think that they need to look at the wide receiver position, obviously building around Devontae Smith. I wouldn't rule out an Allen Robinson as a name on their radar. I think that he could wind up being a really great fit for Nick Sirianni's style of play. I think you always have to look at defensive backs in Philadelphia. Darius Slay is a nice piece, but I think you need to keep adding around him. And, you know, the offensive line, losing Brandon Brooks, I know they've drafted really well, and they seem to have a great system in terms of developing young players to step in and replace them. But I think the Eagles are going to be fairly active in the offensive line this offseason as well.
Oh, very interesting. All right. Very, very interesting. Give me a player in this draft, or like a couple of players in this draft that are a little under the radar, but you think they have the kind of game that translates to the NFL.
Oh, boy, Steve, you caught me here in a bit of a bind. I've been so all in on free agency.
That's okay.
Let me
flip the question around. Let's be more fair to you as the guest. Give me a couple names in free agency that may be under the radar that you think can help a team somewhere that may be a little under the radar and not the big flashy name that people look at. So let's go with that route.
Sure. I think that Rasul Douglas, former Philadelphia Eagle and former, soon-to-be former Green Bay Packer cornerback, I think that he's a guy that's going to cash in. And if you talk to agents and coaches around the league, he's in line for a really strong market. I think he'd be a name to watch. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, is a lot – people view him a lot higher inside the league than fans and media do. And I'll give you an offensive lineman. Lucas Patrick from the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, they're all in on Bakhtiari. They have a lot of money they've spent up front. They now have a lot of money committed to Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams playing on the tag. But he's a guy that, you know, only allowed one sack all last year. He can play all three interior positions along the line. For a team that needs an offensive lineman, I think Lucas Patrick will be a name to watch. And, you know, I think that Shadobie Awuzie is going to be an interesting name. Demonte Casey out of the defensive back. I think that he's a guy that's going to have a pretty strong market as well.
Glad you mentioned Douglas, because I felt once he got to Green Bay, he made enough big plays that swung games for them, really starting with that Arizona game, and seemed to keep it up all season long. I think you're right, Matt. I think he brings some value to the table for any team trying to sign him as a free agent.
For sure, and the expectation is that he's going to be playing elsewhere, and I was told earlier this week that the Packers hadn't even engaged in any sort of negotiations with Rasul Douglas. Now, I know that they're getting healthy at the cornerback position. I know they're going to have a lot of money tied up in Rodgers and Adams, but the expectation from my sources is Rasul Douglas will be available, and I think there's going to be a strong market for him as one of the rising cornerbacks who seems to have found second life in his career.
Very quickly, I think getting Alexander back probably is the key to what their thought process is, because he missed a lot of time this past season.
For sure.
Yeah. Matt, absolute pleasure. Hope this isn't the last time we have you on. We'd like to have you back. It's a question whether you want to be back.
State College is near and dear to my heart, Dave. Always happy to come on. So thank you for having me.
That is Matt Lombardo, fansided.com, the podcast NFL Insider. We'll come back. More gloating from Matt in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, here in Indianapolis, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team takes on Minnesota at 8:30, maybe about 8:25, but we're on beginning at 8 tonight. Next assignment for me, as soon as I'm done here, is I have to go downstairs and get Micah for the pregame show. and get rolling tonight. Meanwhile, earlier today, Syracuse won over Florida State with complete ease in the ACC tournament. The second game, Wake Forest, the number 5 seed, is down 5 in overtime, 79-74 to Boston College with 40 seconds left in overtime. And Wake Forest is a team that's very interesting in this. They have a great record, I think 23-8, but they have Penn State has as many quad one wins as they do. I think Penn State actually has one more quad one win. Penn State has two of them, and Wake Forest has one. That's it. I think Wake is like 1-4 against quad one teams this year. Penn State's got a couple of quad one wins. And Penn State's not close to the tournament, not even close. But sometimes you can build these 23-8 records like they have, and it looks great on paper, and you're like, who did they play? And this game against Boston College is not helping them at all, as a matter of fact. So we'll see how it plays out for them. And that is going on right now in Brooklyn. In fact, BC is up 80-74 now with 27.6 to go, with an opportunity here to make it a 3-possession game when it's all said and done. And on this show, there is a lot more said than done. And it is 81-74. It's a 3-possession game. 27.6 to go. So that is it's tournament time. And Colgate takes on Navy tonight up in Hamilton. Matt has always considered Hamilton to be a garden spot. In fact, that he wants to take Lisa and the kids there for a vacation for some odd reason.
Lisa only likes the name because of the toothpaste. So I guarantee you she's going to pick Colgate in her bracket this year. And I can't blame her. I think Colgate's going to win a game or two as well. I really do. I like this team a lot.
No. All right.
But I'm not picking them based on the toothpaste.
No. They're a nice team, but no. It's going to depend on who. It also depends on who they play in the first round, but no. They got to win tonight first. You never know.